Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared create collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. My next interview is with Adrian Sitaru. He's the writer and director of a film called The Fixer, coming out of Romania. World premiere here at the Film Festival, Toronto International Film Festival. This week, it's been a crazy week. Lots of interviews already done and lots more to come. This is inspired by a true story, and on some levels, a very difficult film to watch, but yet incredibly compelling, plays like a thriller. It's about human trafficking, and this is not your typical Hollywood film, that is for sure. But it comes out in the film that, you know, the goal of a good journalist is to put truth on the table. And I think this is what Adrian is trying to do. This is about having a conversation. This is about inspiring people to change their behavior. And yet, as Adrian will tell you in the interview, he thinks it's very difficult for us to change our behavior. There's a lot going on here. It's this really interesting look into Romania. But as Adrian and I talked about, we chatted about the global interest, the global appeal of this story and of this film. Adrian Sitaru, the film is The Fixer, davidpecklive.com or rabble.ca for more interviews from the Toronto International Film Festival, and Adrian is coming right up. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by another very special guest here today at the Toronto International Film Festival. I think it's only day two, isn't it? Two and a half, I think.
Two and a half.
Adrian Sitaru is here with us. He's a filmmaker. He's a director of a new film, a world premiering here last night, I believe, at the festival called The Fixer. So thanks for joining us today.
Of course, thank you. I'm very honored to be here and in Toronto on this this interview. It's very special, and
thank you.
I'm very happy you like the film.
Well, I did like the film, and congratulations. And it covers a lot of ground. On a certain level, it sort of plays like a thriller and a little bit of a detective story in a sense. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole lot more going on than meets the eye, it seems to me. How was the reception at the public screening?
For me, it was very good, and very good questions. Usually, I had some doubts about, because it's Romanian film here in Toronto, and you never know how universal is your film, and
usually,
almost all the time there are issues that the people don't understand, and it was very good. I think they understood everything. Of course, there will be other screenings, and I will see what will happen, but it was nice because maybe more than half of the audience remains for the Q&A, and this is a good sign. And in this very hectic festival full of films,
right.
It's a bit crazy.
So tell us a little bit about the story, just to set some context for the listeners who probably haven't seen the film yet. But we're going to get into some of the issues that the film raises for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's a very very compelling story, and I think the character Radu, is that Tudor? Tudor?
Tudor is Tudor.
Yeah, you, amazing performance, really compelling and engaging on so many levels. A testament to his acting, but also to your directing, no doubt. So he's the fixer.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the story itself.
The story is based, it's inspired from real events. The DOP that I'm working since from the beginning, from my first roles, work like fixer and kind of best boy at the France Press agency in Bucharest. And he met this case with a minor girl who was trafficked in Paris. And then a French crew came from a TV station, came to Romania to do a report, and he helped them, like fixer, to go to her. And he was very, very touched by the story after, because it's not about only the girl, but how he tried somehow with best intentions to do for other girls, to help the for in the name of good journalists, but finally he felt bad. He had not a good taste at the end of the experience, because for many reasons. But and one is that he, at least he was very well paid, and it's a job very well paid, and he went back to Bucharest, and this kind of girl, and usually a victim, I remain maybe in more danger. I like when he start to talk with me about this story, because in my films, more or less, but more, I have issues about more this subject, about morality.
Of course, yeah.
And since from Hooked, I think it's about this area, gray area about what is good or bad, because I don't know, I have my own dilemmas in my job, in filmmaking, what is good one.
Well, as a filmmaker, don't you hope that I, as an audience member watching this film, I'm going to some degree empathize with the character and say, gee, I wonder how I would behave in this, not to cast judgment necessarily, mm-hmm. but to actually situate myself in the film, in a sense, in the story, and say, mm-hmm. would I have made those decisions? Would I have chosen this over this, mm-hmm. if I was faced with the same moral questions?
Yeah, it's I hope so. It was a very short Q&A yesterday, so somehow because I all the time when I'm doing films, because I have, as I said, my own dilemmas about my behavior, somehow I don't have answers, because I would be a priest or some guru.
Should have been a priest instead of a filmmaker. Yes.
So doing films, I'm trying to put my dilemmas, and also maybe to find an answer from audience. So I like to listen to them. And
so would you say you're primarily a storyteller, or are you a storyteller that wants to affect a particular kind of change?
I don't get that.
So, I mean, maybe all storytellers want to change the world in some way, but taking on an issue like human trafficking, of young women in Eastern Europe, and frankly, it's a global mm-hmm. issue.
Of course.
If you talk to the International Justice Mission, for instance, they will tell you slavery today is far worse than it was 150 years ago, because there's different kinds of it. And so trafficking, huge issue for all of us, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a story that wants to change the world.
I don't believe, really, I'm the guy who I'm not believing that a story or a film could change the world or the behavior. It's very difficult to change our behavior. But at least for me, it's a victory if the audience will empathize with the character. Maybe next time when he's doing something in his job or with his children, or it doesn't matter, he's think twice, or this is the reason that I like a positive character is not somebody who is changing the world or is doing the best for it and saving life. Is at least after he's doing maybe a good or a bad thing, it's thinking twice next time, or he's having a kind of revelation.
Well, it's really, I mean, to me, here's this group of journalists who have, in a sense, a moral responsibility to tell the truth. And there is a dilemma there, because they're trying to get access to this young woman who's underage. Mm-hmm. People are trying to protect her. And yet, I'm not that kind of a journalist, even though they were getting well paid, probably, and they're all about ratings and they want to get this story out there. There's still a sense that they were trying to get to the bottom of something that was in their minds, far more of a moral problem than, say, you know, misleading the police or misleading a nun to get access to a young woman to interview her.
Yeah, sometimes, it's difficult. The goal of a good journalist is to put the truth on the table. Mm. But in many cases, the victims could be more abused the second time. Even just, for instance, was a big issue for us to not becoming abusers like our characters in the film, how we will find our girl to play the role in the film. In the first hand, it's very easy to say, maybe we can find a girl who was trafficked, talented to play, but just because we think a lot and we work for people for the script and have had a lot of discussion about what means abuse, manipulating also with our own children when you are pushing them to do an, don't know, piano or something,
right.
Everything.
Which also what comes means out in the story.
It's either an abuse or not, to go to the church or not, to impose something. And we found out that, we talked with psychologists, this reenactment for a girl who was trafficked, even if it's fiction and a film, could be more, it's like an abuse. He was more, could be, how is it called? Sorry for my English.
No, it's okay. So you actually considered...
Hearted.
Reliving it and almost a post-traumatic stress almost that, that a young woman or anyone would be dealing with.
It was a phrase there that for 1 year of abuse you need eight
That's
years,
correct.
And it's very true from big psychologists or psychiatrists.
Yeah, it comes out in the film, for every year of abuse, you need 8 years of therapy to recover from
that. Exactly, and it's true. So, we start to think about how to find this girl to not suffer in the end.
So you considered using a woman who had been trafficked, actually?
No,
after
you did your research. After we talk a lot about what means abusing, how we are behaving with our children, we found out this is the worst case to pick up a girl who was trafficked. So we started casting to find a smart girl. We talk a lot with the parents before to talk with the girl. The parents knows much better what their girls knows about sex, and we give the scripts, and it was a very interesting case when we had a girl and very talented at the casting, and at the end we didn't know exactly what he knew, because it was very important to not find out sexual issues from us doing this film. It's the time for everything, it's not a matter of age. In a certain point, or maybe the last question, it was very frankly, you know actually what means oral sex? And she said, yes, of course. What it means for you? To do sex 1 hour, or it was something like from hour to hour in each. So we realized that she don't know what it means really, so I said, okay, thank you very much. So we skipped this girl because we realized that it's not normally to find out from us.
Right.
So this was
interesting.
It was a very difficult process to find
the
right girl.
And people, I think, once they see the film, I think they'll understand the sensitivity of it. And I think what I really love about your film is that I guess it's directness and simplicity that's dealing with such a complicated issue. I mean, I wrote down, for me, the film, what is The Fixer about? I mean, quickly, poverty, crime, gender, ethics, truth to get to the truth, this whole notion of utility and utilitarianism as a moral kind of concept to say, how much am I going to do to get the truth on the table, to your comment? What am I going to, who am I going to bribe? What are the lines I'm going to cross? And I think that's, it's a huge question, and I think we need to be talking about things. One of the themes of this year, for sure, with the directors that I've been interviewing, is they all want to talk about the issues in their films. And it seems to me any good, interesting, engaged filmmaker wants to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I say, compassion was another one for me.
Yeah.
This idea of listening even comes up in the film. The way Radu deals with his son.
you know, and pushing him to perfectionism. And you've got to, you know, oh, my heart went out to the little boy when he said, "Why don't you want to be first?" You know, in the swimming lesson.
It's a very common.
It's a kind of, and you're right, it is a kind of abuse.
My parents was like that, the script writers, Adrian Siristanu and Claudia Siristanu, they have a girl who is doing swimming and are going to the contest, but they met parents who are forcing and sometimes slapping children.
It doesn't have to be physical.
I don't think it's only in Romania. It's even if it's psychological pressure, it's almost the same to push the boy, the girl to be in the first place. It's this competitive capitalist,
sure.
I don't know.
Sure, yeah, no,
society,
it is.
It brings...
You gotta be number one. You have to be number one.
Yeah.
Don't worry about being yourself. You just gotta win.
The winner's take his soul, and it's ABBA.
What's so the cliche? The nice guys aren't gonna always finish last, right? So, you know, the thought I had at the end of the film when Redu, and there's really a sense of reconciliation, it seems to me, which is lovely, but when he's looking through the lens, shooting his son at the end, I couldn't help but think this is a man who's lived his life voyeuristically, entirely through others, but also through his son. And it makes you wonder to what degree he's trying to fix everything else, but he hasn't really sorted himself out yet. He's still looking. Does that make sense?
Yeah, perfectly. And probably this perfectionism of Radu came also from the real behavior of Adrian, who is, he's in his job like DOP, a perfectionist, and sometimes being a perfectionist and trying to have the best from the people, he's becoming very annoying for the others, of course for children, but even for me, of course I prefer a perfectionist, a very DOP.
Well, your film is very precise, so it makes me wonder if you suffer from a little of that too.
It's not easy, but we are talking about an adult world, and we accept to do these things, but we are dealing with our children and how we are behaving. This is a big question: what is good and not.
So, if I said to you, "What's the film about?" I'm sure you're going to get those types of questions, or have had them already when you've met press and so on. What do you say as the director who's seeing the story through a writer and through a true story as well, right?
This is
your interpretation of a true story.
For me, and I think actually for us, was a film about abuse, what means abuse in the all layers. It's very easy to see the abuse when it's a matter of sexual abuse and what you are seeing in the news, but abuse, it's in a very subtle way. It's in our human behavior, I believe. This is somehow the problem. You are programmed to make a kind of abuse. It's an abuse maybe that there is this sexism sometimes, or this problem with misogynism. We are coming millions years before, it was the man and abused the woman somehow, more or less. Now it remains something in everything we are.
There's a kind of almost an exploitation. I was just in a cafe, and I dropped my umbrella on the ground, and I was clearly scrambling to get things ready to prepare to come to the interview today. And I dropped my umbrella, and it rolled a ways away, almost to the next table. And there was a woman standing there who clearly noticed, who could have easily picked it up and handed it to me. And I'm packing up, and I got my bag and my computer and my, right?
Nothing.
Nothing. Not even an eye contact, not even a smile to kind of say, oh, well, maybe, you know, nothing at all. And I wonder if, in a sense, there's that, I mean, for me, your film, The Fixer, is about others and this idea of listening and attending to others. And why don't we? Why don't we think of others? You know, we're so sort of focused on ourselves. And there's this, in the film, when the three journalists finally, and for me, one of the most uncomfortable scenes in the film is when they're interviewing her in the car. The confined space, the claustrophobia of it, her facial expression or lack of it, and so on. So they finally do get to this interview, which is important to me for the story and for them to tell their story. But as the way you film it and as they're walking away, couldn't help feel like, okay, we're done.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. You've given us what we need. Off we go. We'll never see you again.
This was the feeling of my DOP, the primary feeling that...
Wow.
That it started to think that maybe it was something wrong. And then we discussed a lot. And yeah, we found out of our own behavior, because we started to think, you know, but why you... Because it was interesting, he said, the DOP, I don't know that... And what happened in the beginning of the film, that he wants first, the first impulse was to help his girlfriend, so he went to the cousin to...
Right.
And then when he found...
I didn't like the cousin, by the way.
Of
course.
Something
not quite right with the cousin.
And he said that, I don't like the cousin, but he went there.
Yeah.
And when he found out that maybe it could be easy to make it by himself, he called the French guy and did everything. And actually, it came in the script because I found out from the Adrian, the DOP, that actually it was something similar. When working for France Press, I think it was a call phone, and it was a journalist who was supposed to work like fixer. It was a woman, and because he was the first one who picked up the phone and finally called his friend, and somehow it was a kind of abuse. He hidden nothing bad. It was
for
France Press, or I don't know, but it was human behavior. And I said, you wanted money because maybe you it wasn't.
So
when it's a matter of money and
yes, so much of it seems to come down to that, doesn't it? Or this idea that I'm more important than you are, and therefore that's going to affect how I do everything, mm-hmm. whether or not I smile at you or pick up your umbrella or give you a hand or drive you down the street or mm-hmm. whatever, or abuse, you know, be abusive in a particular way as a parent to a child. You know, with the piano lessons or the swimming lessons or whatever. Are you hoping people are more empathetic, more compassionate? I mean, we're talking about sex trafficking. I mean, this is a pretty serious situation. It's most of the time not too hard to be, I would think, compassionate, but yet at the same time, difficult to see the human sometimes. Does that make sense?
Yes, I know. It's very difficult. About it's not enough to be I think it's not enough to be to have compassion, because it's not the problem is not only the people who are going to these prostitutes. It's a line there that we put when the French guy is asking Radu, you have never been with a prostitute? No.
Right, right.
But then he's asking, you never click a porn link?
Right.
And this is the problem. In the moment when we are clicking the porn, from the distance, clicking a button, it's like in the war where now with the drones, it's much easier to kill when you are pushing a button than to use your hands to kill somebody. The responsibility, it's far away. It's the same with the link porn, but actually the girls who are there are trafficked because somebody is clicking a link. So it should be more than compassion, that it should be everybody to avoid to use these links, buttons, and then maybe to not go to the prostitute. It's difficult. We are maybe in thousands here will right. happen here.
Right, right. So you want, but, so in a sense then what you're saying is you want that compassion and that empathy to lead to better choices, better behavior, better action, or more action.
Yeah. Needs more action, and I think it's not enough.
So you didn't make this film just for Romanians?
Yeah, usually I'm trying to find the universality in my instincts and dilemmas, and I think it's important. I'm really interested in human behavior, that we are thinking we are a very developed species, and I think we are more close to animals than a superior something. It's a lot of wars in the world, and we have clothes and We are polite.
We've come a long way, but we have a long way to go. So, yeah, like you say, maybe another 1,000 years. How far did you stray from the actual case study in the script?
Sorry?
How far did you... What kind of creative license did you take from the true story itself?
Yeah, probably it never happened what it happened in the car about the girl trying to make a blowjob to Ryan.
Right, to solicit him, yes.
But we read... It's a very famous, I don't remember now the name, a psychologist who work about with abuse children. When it was a story of him, it's, the book is starting with this story when the girl came to the doctor. She knew that he's a doctor and she tried to make therapy. And from the first meeting, he talked with the girl and everything, and she started, he wanted a blowjob. And actually, this was about the book, because it's not easy. Maybe from him is coming this. It's not easy to solve the problem. It need 8 years of...
Right, right.
Yeah. And even if he thought that the problem was solved, he found out that the girl going to the high school and everything, he found that he's still doing with boys. Mm. These kind of things, just because somehow it was too late. Behavior. He learned that in this way he can have a connection with a doctor or with the man. The only thing, it's not about talking,
right,
and
right.
It was his way to be polite and to have a connection.
What's interesting in the film, the way Radu's character just kind of really for me shifted. I mean, I'm a very likable guy throughout the film. He really is. For most of the time, but at that moment, he all of a sudden, I started to see his empathy and his compassion for this young woman, and how he pushed back, how he pushes back on the other journalists and say, we got to leave her alone, we got to move on. It's like that was like the tipping point for him. We're gonna go. This is taking it one step too far.
Yes, but in the same time was my own question. But maybe I am like Radu. Maybe Radu will not be. Never a good journalist,
right.
And I'll never be a good director, because we know scandals about directors who are abusing the actors. Recently was about the blue, the warmest color,
right?
The Keshish film, about how he works with the girls, and yeah, I don't know. Maybe to do good reports, to do good jobs, journalism, films, maybe you have to be like that, a bit abusing, to a bad guy.
Right. So. I suppose to some degree it comes down to, I guess, the definition and to being, I think, to being compassionate and to listening and being attentive, I think. I'd like to think so anyway. We're going to have to wrap it up in a minute, Adrian, sadly, but I do want to ask you about the Phantom Limb scene. And the train, and it's fascinating to me, because we sort of, I mean, it's Oliver Sacks is a neurologist, and that's where I first was introduced to this idea of a phantom limb, and a man who had lost his leg in a war accident, and thought he had 3 legs, and he would grab one of his legs and throw it out of the bed, and so he would keep falling out of bed all the time, but it was and as you say in the film, or your character says, it's all in the brain. So are you telling me that, is that what you're saying, that my abusive tone or nature, it's all here? It's electrical impulse, or is it more than that?
We are behaving because any kind of doctor or a scientist will say it's electronic, chemical things.
Right.
It's very
right.
interesting, miraculous, could be God, I don't know, but it's
yes.
a matter of mechanic and chemistry and physics. But it's not about it. About this, that scene, it came in my mind when, we worked. It was Adrian Silistan who was inspired this story. His wife wrote the script, but we had many meetings also together with Răzvan Rădulescu, like a script consultant, who was the co-writer of Cristi Puiu first films and co-writer of Radu Munteanu, another very good films. Anyway. And Răzvan said, I think here we need a scene like Sitarus scenes in, he has a scene in each film, very absurd and crazy. And in that moment, I remember that sometime I'm watching TED conferences and those.
Yes,
and I watch an Indian doctor who was, because there are this kind of cases.
Phantom limb.
Yes, yeah. With big pains, and he discovered that all these kind of things, and he explained very easily. He put a mirror, and the patient felt that like he saw the brain saw the missing arm, and everything was fine.
And eventually, the pain goes.
It was a long thing. For me, was very interesting how the brain is working, and I put this story in the film, of course, exaggerating about masturbation and everything. But now you are telling about the three legs. It sounds weird, but I think.
Well, I wonder to what degree, and I think this is probably a really nice way to wrap it up. But I wonder to what degree, you know, you could sort of say that the process of healing is very much in the brain, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But there's still also a part of the physiology of who we are and our humanness and making choices and stepping forward, and Radu makes those choices, and we all have a responsibility of, seems to me, limb or no phantom limb, you know?
But for me it was also a metaphor that maybe Radu, it's, even if it seems to be have everything, it's missing something with this perfectionism.
Yes, yes.
It's missing an organ,
and
because of that it's suffering or makes the others to suffer, so it's everything in his brain is missing, I don't know, compassion. Well,
compassion, and he's not the fixer that he thinks he is.
Yeah,
which I think
exactly.
Is really, really interesting. Adrian Sataro here for the world premiere of The Fixer at the Toronto International Film Festival. Congratulations on the film.
Thank you very much. I am really touched about what you said about it.
Thank you for your time today, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the festival.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.